Now we'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 14. And while you're looking that up, I'll just remind you of some of the meetings that are planned, God willing, for this coming week. On Tuesday evening, there will be, or tomorrow firstly, in Portage, there's the conference, the New Year conference there on the River Road Assembly building in Portage, beginning, I think, at 1:30. Tuesday evening here, there is a prayer meeting and Bible study at 7 o'clock. And then this coming Saturday, there's the teaching meeting at 3 o'clock. And then next Sunday, God willing, the meetings as per the usual schedule. And again, the gospel would be preached again next Sunday at 7 o'clock. These meetings all in the will of God. Now reading, please, from the Word of God in Luke's Gospel, and chapter 14, and we'll read at verse number 15 of Luke chapter 14. And when one of them that sat at meat with him, that's with the Lord Jesus, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we trust that God would bless the reading from his precious word. We come this evening to the last gospel meeting of this year of 2017. And as I was thinking about that, it may be that there are some here tonight and you perhaps began this year of 2017 thinking that this would be the year that you would get saved. And this would be the year when you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. And you would trust in the Lord Jesus who died there at Calvary, the cross of Calvary. He died there for sinners. And you perhaps thought that this might be the year that you would receive the forgiveness of your sins. And yet maybe it is the case for some here tonight that you come again to this last gospel meeting of the year and you're still in your sins, having not received God's salvation. And you're still not sure of being in heaven with God and with the Lord Jesus in a coming eternity. And if that is the case for anybody here tonight, the wonderful thing is that you can still be saved this year, even tonight, even before the meeting is over, because God is graciously extending another invitation to sinners tonight, another opportunity to hear the word of God and to hear the truth of the gospel. And as we look at this passage that we've read in Luke chapter 14, we hear that there was an invitation that was given to come to this great supper. And we want to tell you that God is still inviting sinners tonight to come to him and to come to his Son, the Lord Jesus. And God is still desirous for you to respond to the invitation of the gospel. And that's really the thought that I have for this message. We might entitle the message tonight, God's Gracious Invitation. And we trust that if there's any here tonight, younger ones or older ones, who are not saved, that you would respond tonight in a positive way to God's gracious invitation. We began reading there in verse 15. There was one who was sitting at meat with the Lord Jesus. He was reclining at the table. He was eating with the Lord Jesus. And he makes this statement, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And here is somebody who's giving expression to the future prospect, the enjoyment of the kingdom of God, when it will be manifested here on earth. What a wonderful thing it will be in a future day to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, to be sitting, eating bread in the kingdom of God. And it is in response to that statement that the Lord Jesus gives this parable of the Great Supper. And here is a parable which tells us that, yes, there is the future prospect of being in the presence of God and enjoying the presence of God's blessing. But this parable is teaching us that if you're going to experience that blessing, there's an invitation that you need to respond to. And we read it there in verse 17, "Come, for all things are now ready." And this is an invitation that demands a response from you as an individual person. The masses of humanity today, the invitation in the gospel goes forth to everybody. And yet, so many in this world are making their excuses and giving their reasons why they would not want the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And we'll notice in verses 18 to 20, there were those that were the rejecters of the invitation. And they made their excuses for rejecting the invitation. But you know, when we come to the end of this parable, the Lord Jesus finishes with a very solemn warning. A warning for those who would be rejecters of the invitation. They will be eternally shut out from the presence of God and from God's blessing in salvation. And the Lord Jesus ends in verse 24 by saying, "None of those men that were bidden, those who rejected, none of those men will taste of my supper." So we need to be faithful to the word of God tonight. And we need to tell you, yes, there is a wonderful salvation that is available to all to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. And God's gracious invitation is genuine and it is realistic that all can come to Christ tonight to be blessed with salvation because of what the Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross. But if you go on rejecting the invitation, and you never accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then we have to tell you that God will ultimately cut you off eternally from his presence. And that will mean to be in hell and in the lake of fire for all eternity. And so these are solemn things that we would think about tonight. And so there in verse 16, the Lord Jesus begins this parable. He says, "A certain man, he made a great supper, and he invited many." And here we have a lovely picture of what the salvation that God has available for sinners tonight. We have it pictured here in this great supper. A supper to which many are invited. And God's salvation is freely offered tonight to men and women, to boys and girls. There is a great salvation that is available for you tonight. And we think of God's great salvation. And we think of a salvation which is great in many different ways. It's great in its scope of blessing, because it is a message that can meet the need of everybody tonight. The invitation went out to the many. Notice that word, many. And tonight the gospel goes forth to all of humanity without exception, because the need of humanity is great. It is universal. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners before God. And we read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we are all guilty sinners before the God of heaven. But the gospel is great in its scope of blessing, because wherever we could go tonight, whatever country in this world, whatever continent, wherever we might be tonight — we're here tonight in Winnipeg — but wherever we would go tonight, the gospel of God's grace concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus, is a message that can be proclaimed, and it can meet the need of every sinner. The message concerning the death and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross, his suffering, his death in the place of sinners, it can meet the need of every sinner tonight. That is the provision that is available in the gospel tonight. Many New Testament scriptures would tell us that the Lord Jesus has provided a salvation that is available for all because of his death. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus is spoken of there as the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For all. He provided himself in that sacrifice as a provision for all of sinful humanity. We read in Romans chapter 3 that the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is unto all. There's the unlimited scope of the blessing of the gospel. It is unto all. And the verse says it is upon all them that believe. And so as we speak about the death of the Lord Jesus tonight, his death on the cross, we can say that there is truly provision in the death of Christ and his finished work at Calvary to meet the need of all tonight. The gospel invitation is genuinely unto all. And so for everyone here in this meeting, young and old, young boy, young girl, older person, whoever you are, there is a true, there is a genuine, gracious invitation to you from God. Whoever you are, whosoever you are, the gospel is for the whosoever. John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's great salvation is great in its scope of blessing. And the many were invited. And the New Testament declares that there will be many who will enjoy the blessing of God's salvation. There will be many who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. There will be many who will enjoy a future prospect of being with the Lord Jesus because of the provision of the Lord Jesus in his death at Calvary. Last Sunday night, we were reminded from John's Gospel chapter 1 of the verse that says that the Lord Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are many who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There are many who are going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus in a coming day. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus is leading many sons to glory. In Romans chapter 8, the scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus is going to be the firstborn son among many brethren. There are the many who are going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus because they have been saved and they have come into the blessing of God's redemption. But I wonder for each one here tonight, will you be among the many who are going to be eternally blessed? Because you know there's also going to be many who reject the gospel. And there are going to be many who are going to perish in a lost eternity. There's going to be many who are going to be eternally separated from God and from the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke about that in Matthew chapter 7. He said in that passage, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There's that word many again. The many are invited tonight, but it is your decision, it is your response to the gospel invitation that's going to determine whether you will be among the many who will be blessed with salvation, or will you be among the many who reject the Savior and who will be judged for their sins. So it was a great supper, and the gospel is a great salvation. It is great in its scope of blessing. It is great in its provision of blessing. I'm sure that everybody who responded to this invitation and who attended this supper, it would have been a supper that would have satisfied. Nobody would have left wanting. Nobody would have felt unfulfilled. And friend, the gospel is truth from God that satisfies the soul of the person who is blessed with salvation. There is not a saved person who is in the meeting tonight who would not testify to the eternal satisfaction for their soul through believing the gospel and trusting in the Lord Jesus. There is a fullness of blessing for the believer in the Lord Jesus. You see, God has provided this salvation. And God is not a God who blesses in half measures. He is a God who blesses fully. He is a God who blesses eternally. And we would desire for everybody here tonight that you would appreciate the fullness of blessing that there is by receiving the Lord Jesus and knowing him as your personal Savior. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here on this earth, he dispensed that fullness of blessing. There was an occasion when there was a great multitude who needed to be fed. 5,000 men, and also the women and the children. And the disciples looked at that great multitude of people, and they wondered how it would be possible for such a large number to be fed. And one of the disciples, Philip, he said to the Lord Jesus, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough, that each of them would receive just a little. And the Lord Jesus was able to take of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he dispensed it to the multitude. Philip would have been happy if they received a little. But such is the fullness of blessing that comes from the hand of the Lord Jesus, that the Bible tells us that that multitude of people, they did all eat, and they were filled, and there was 12 baskets full of provisions that were left over. That is the bounty of provision that the Lord Jesus provides. Multitudes that can be filled, multitudes that can be satisfied, and baskets left over that are filled. And friend, that is the fullness of the blessing that is found in the Lord Jesus. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Romans, when you come to Romans chapter 15, As he was thinking about coming to the city of Rome, he says, I am sure that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I want you just to think about that expression. The tremendous provision of blessing that is available to you tonight if you would come and receive the Lord Jesus. There in that chapter in Romans 15, the Apostle Paul spoke about that fullness of blessing. He says, now the God of hope, he can fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel of Christ is that which fills and it satisfies and it fills the heart and soul of the believer with all joy and with peace and with hope. That is the great provision of blessing that is available for you tonight. There is the joy of knowing that your sins are eternally forgiven. The joy of having the possession of eternal life. There is the peace of knowing that you're saved eternally. You'll never be in hell or the lake of fire. There is the blessed hope of the coming again of the Lord Jesus and the hope of an eternal home in heaven with the Lord Jesus. That is the joy. That is the peace. That is the hope that can fill your heart and soul tonight if you will come to Christ and receive the fullness of blessing that he provides. The gospel is a great salvation in its provision of blessing. It satisfies the souls of men and women. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight and you're conscious that there's an emptiness in your life and in your soul. There's a void. There's a longing for satisfaction. And maybe you've tried to fill that void with the things of this world, the pleasures of sin, and they've not satisfied the need of your soul. And friend, they never will. But there is something which will satisfy you tonight. Every believer in the Lord Jesus will testify of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God's salvation is a great salvation in its provision of blessing and in its scope of blessing. But we also would tell you tonight that it's a salvation that was great in its cost of provision. It's available for you tonight free. It's a full and free salvation that God offers to you, the sinner, tonight. But it was great in its cost of provision. It cost God his only well-beloved Son. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 8:32 says that he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. What a cost that was to God. To provide salvation for sinful men and women and boys and girls. He gave his Son. He did not spare his Son. What did that mean? What does that involve? That involves what happened at the cross of Calvary. After men put the Lord Jesus on that cross, they did their worst to him. And after that, there was 3 hours of darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And that was when God dealt with his Son, as he must deal with sin. That was when God's Son became accountable to God for man's sin. And there on the cross, the Lord Jesus paid the price for man's sin. He endured, he exhausted the price for man's sin. In the language of Scripture, Isaiah 53 says that his soul was made an offering for sin. That is the great truth of the cross of Christ. That is the truth of the sin-atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. that there at Calvary, God did not spare his Son. The Lord Jesus paid the price for sin to make salvation available for sinners even tonight, to provide that righteous basis for a holy God to forgive sins and to forgive the sinner who believes the gospel and who receives the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So God's salvation is a great salvation, great in its scope of blessing, great in its provision of blessing, but provided at great cost. All that the Lord Jesus suffered when he died there upon the cross, when he suffered, when he shed his precious blood, when he gave up his life in the place of sinners. I wonder, as you hear this tonight, as you think about these things, I just want to ask you, what is your response to this? This great salvation that has been provided by God, procured at great cost to God, freely available to you tonight. What is your response to it? Are you going to accept it? Or are you going to reject God's offer of mercy? Are you going to spurn the riches of God's grace and the greatness of his love? Are you going to receive the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior? And so there is this great supper that's provided, and the many are invited, and the invitation is given in verse 17. The servant at supper time, he goes out with the invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." What a lovely picture of the day of God's grace. The servant sent forth at supper time, a picture of the Spirit of God in operation in this day of grace, this day of opportunity, when all are invited to come to receive salvation. And I want you to understand that this invitation, it was an honest invitation. It was a genuine invitation. There was no catch to it. There was no what we might call small print. There was nothing that was unclear or ambiguous in the terms of this invitation. "Come, for all things are now ready." Friend, that is the invitation of the gospel tonight. That is God's gracious invitation to you, the sinner, tonight. The invitation is simple, it is clear, it is genuine from God. The invitation is come. The provision has been made. Everything is now ready because the Lord Jesus has died for sinners. That is the genuine invitation of the gospel tonight. You need to come to Christ. I know that there are younger ones in the meeting tonight, young children, boys and girls. But I'm sure you understand what it means when your parents will say to you, "Come." And they will make that invitation to you to come to them, to come to receive something from them. You understand what that means. You understand that you need to respond to that invitation. The invitation is made, "Come." But the young child has to respond. They have to come to receive the blessing. Friend, that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight. He says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says in John chapter 6, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You know, the Bible ends with this invitation. The last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 17, "Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." That's the simple invitation of the gospel tonight. All things are now ready. The Lord Jesus has paid the price for man's sin. He has finished the work of redemption on the cross. And on the basis of that completed work, the gospel invitation is made tonight. Come, for all things are now ready. We sometimes sing that hymn, that chorus, done is the work that saves, once and forever done. And as a guilty sinner, you need to come to the Lord Jesus to have your need met. You do have a need as a sinner. Understand that for all here tonight, you have a great need as a sinner. And it's a need that if it's not attended to, it will keep you out of heaven, the need of your sins. You have a heart that is stained with the guilt of your sins. You need cleansing from the guilt of your sins. You need the forgiveness of your sins. Your need is great as a sinner. Because of your sins, heaven is shut against you. Because of your sins, hell is open to receive you. Your need is great, but there is an invitation for your need to be met. Come, for all things are ready. There is provision in the Lord Jesus and what he did at Calvary to meet your need as a sinner. You need cleansing. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You need forgiveness of your sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says that he is the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So all things are now ready. All your need as a sinner can be met now if you respond to the invitation. If you come to Christ, you come to the one who died and he was buried and he was raised again. He's alive in heaven. He's inviting you tonight to come to him to receive the blessing of salvation. But what is going to be your response? And we see here in verses 18 to 20 that there were those who rejected the invitation. And this is very solemn. They all with one consent began to make excuse. And they give their different excuses. But I was just thinking of that expression there in verse 18. They all with one consent began to make excuse. And it's almost as though the actual reasons given are not the main point. It is just that they were all together and they were all of the same mindset, and they were all determined in their mind to reject the invitation. They all, with one consent, began to make excuse. They were determined not to respond to the invitation that was given to them. We trust that that is not the predetermined mind of any in the meeting tonight, that there's nobody here just determined in your mind not to believe in the Lord Jesus. And they rejected this gracious invitation. And they seem quite polite, and they seem quite courteous. We might say in the language of today that they're very politically correct. I pray thee, have me excused. You see, it was just an attitude of indifference. It was an attitude of carelessness to the invitation that was being given. I wonder, is that you tonight, relative to the gospel invitation? Is the language of your heart, have me excused? Well, friend, we want you to understand that that is not an option that you have. You cannot excuse yourself from the truth of the gospel. You cannot excuse yourself from the claims of God's holy throne relative to your sin. Your sins must be taken into account. And the gospel demands a response from your heart tonight. I say again, you cannot excuse yourself from the truth that the gospel brings to you. The fact that you're a sinner, the fact that the Lord Jesus died for sinners on the cross, The fact that your need is great as a sinner, you cannot just excuse yourself from these things tonight. And you see the excuses that are brought by these people. And the first rejecter, he says, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. And so here is one who has made a purchase. I'm sure he saw that piece of ground many times before he purchased it. But you can see what's filling the vision of this person: a new possession, a new purchase. And he's taken up with that possession, and he's using that as the reason for rejecting the invitation. And you know, that is just so typical of many in the world today. Their minds, their vision is occupied with material possessions. The things that they've purchased, the things that they've bought, the things that they claim as their own. And people talk about my money and my house and my car and my presence and all the things that I possess. And sadly, there are not many that will speak about my soul and the need of their soul. But you know, the Bible would tell us that the only real possession that any of us have, the only thing that we really have as our own, is our soul. And the Bible would make clear to us that the only thing that any of us will take into eternity is our soul. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think about that tonight. The way that material possessions occupy the thoughts and the vision of so many. But you know, the great accumulation of material possessions will be of no consolation if you lose your soul to a lost eternity. There was another rejecter. He says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. And here was one who was interested in the business of this world. And here was somebody who was ambitious to be productive and to go in for the things of this world in that way. And he rejects the invitation. And you know, you can go in for the business of this world. You can become one of the most successful business man or business woman in this world. It will be of no consolation if you die in your sins and you lose your soul to a lost eternity. And then there's another rejecter. He says, I've married a wife and I cannot come. And so here are family ties and family relationships. And how often that can come in to a person's experience and come between them and receiving the Lord Jesus as their Savior. You know, I believe that that man's wife was invited to the supper as well. And quite possibly, if there's nobody else in your family that's saved, you could be the first person in your family to be saved, and your whole family could be saved, because there is tremendous potential of blessing in the gospel. And so they made their excuses. But friend, tonight, I want you to understand that you have no real excuse for not receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know how to be saved tonight? Believe in the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. What are you going to do about it tonight? What is your response to the invitation going to be? Maybe you've sat in a gospel meeting throughout 2017 and you've heard the invitation being given night after night, and every time you've gone out of the door and you've done nothing about it. You've been a rejecter of the invitation. You've not received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Dear friend, tonight, don't go out of the door again tonight as a rejecter of the invitation of the gospel. The invitation is, come, for all things are now ready. And it's interesting to see in verse 21, the response of the master of the house when he hears about those who are rejecting. Then the master of the house being angry. They'd rejected his invitation. He was angry. I wonder if you've ever thought about the possibility that by continually rejecting the gospel invitation, you're incurring the righteous anger of a holy God. Think about that tonight. It's a solemn thing. The living God of heaven, and you're rejecting his gracious invitation. Is God angry with you tonight as you go on rejecting the invitation to be saved? The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, don't be afraid of those that kill the body, and after that there's no more that they can do. Fear him who, after he has killed, hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Friend, that is the God that you are dealing with tonight in the gospel. He is the God who is the living God. He is the Almighty God of heaven. He has that power to cast into hell. And so the master of the house was angry, but he was urgent in his invitation. And he gives this instruction, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. And this man was urgent about filling his house with those that were invited. I don't know if you're urgent about your salvation tonight, but if you're not saved, you need to be urgent about it. But I can tell you that God is urgent about your salvation. God is desirous tonight that you come to him. The invitation is come, for all things are now ready. And God says in Isaiah chapter 1, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. And so the invitation went out to others, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. You see, those who rejected, their opportunity was gone. But there were others who were invited. And God is interested in saving the souls of men and women tonight. If you're going to reject the gospel, there are others that will come to God in Christ tonight for salvation. There are others that are going to be saved tonight. The invitation is going forth. Men and women and boys and girls are being saved tonight. But what about you? You've come to this gospel meeting tonight. Are you going to be amongst those who respond? And so, just to close there in verse 22, the servant comes back after the invitation has gone out. And he says, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And I want to just emphasize that tonight. Yet there is room. 2017 is nearly over. But yet there is room. There is still opportunity. The door of salvation is still open for you tonight. It is still open for the repentant sinner to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And the master of the house says, compel them to come in. Verse 23, that my house may be filled. Can we compel you tonight with loving persuasion? God's house is filling. And when it is full, the Lord Jesus is going to come again. The day of grace is going to be over. The opportunity to be saved is going to be forever over. God's house is going to be filled. Yet there is room tonight. Friend, you need to enter in now. You need to be urgent while there is room, while there is opportunity. And so there is that solemn warning. Verse 24. None of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those who were the rejectors, those who were first invited and who refused the invitation. There wasn't going to be another invitation extended to them. And this is the warning to those who go on rejecting God's invitation of salvation. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 4, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" As 2017 comes to a close, are you going to go on in disobedience, not obeying the gospel of God? Think about this warning. "None of those that were bidden shall taste of my supper." The wise man Solomon says in Proverbs 29, "He that being often reproved, often warned, hardeneth his neck, refuses the warning, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." If you go on rejecting the gospel tonight, it might be the last time that you reject it. God might not have another opportunity for you. Listen again one last time to God's gracious invitation. "Come. Come, for all things are now ready, provided in the death of the Lord Jesus." And so are you going to respond tonight to the invitation of the Savior? "Come. Come unto me. Come, for all things are now ready." Let us close in prayer.